Doctors and scientists know more now about diagnosing and treating cancer than they ever have before, thanks to discoveries in the Cancer Genome Atlas. The Atlas maps genetic mutations of 33 different cancers and collects more than 11,000 specimens. Jean-Claude Zenclusen is director of the Cancer Genome Atlas Program Office, the National Cancer Institute. He and his colleague Carolyn Hutter at the National Human Genome Research Institute are Service to America Medal finalists in the science and environment category. JC, thanks for coming on the program today. Congratulations to you and Carolyn, and not just to the two of you, but to all of the team that's involved with the Cancer Genome Atlas. Tell me before we start anything else, exactly what the Atlas is and what it looks like, how it's constructed, how it works, because when I think of an Atlas, I think of a book on a shelf in a library. Thanks for being on the program, sir.
Thank you for having me, Francis. You have it fairly close to what this Atlas is. It's a strange Atlas because it doesn't have, you know, maps of geographical places, but it has maps of what makes different cancer types tick. In fact, the combination of different pathways that we discover and how they relate to each other, they're normally referred as subway maps, because they do look like the metro map. You know, it's, you have several nodes that connect to each other, and then maybe they connect through different routes. And so it is really a collection of maps. We are trying with the Atlas, when this project was put together back in 2006, the idea was to collect the part list, basically all the components that make different cancers to be as bad as they are for the people suffering them. And so it started with two tumor types, glioblastoma multiforme, which is the most deadly brain tumor, and ovarian tumors, which are very, very bad and have a very bad prognostic. And then after we proved in the pilot phase that we could do what we were set to do, it expanded to those 33 tumor types that you mentioned in your introduction. What we do basically is we take the tumors, we process them through a central pipeline. We extract macromolecules, DNA, RNA, and proteins, and then we analyze them for different characteristics and changes and alterations that have occurred in the tumor compared to the normal from the same patient. And by doing that, we can figure out what is that the tumor has different from the normal cells and start to tease out what would be good targets for therapy. But not only that, we can classify the tumors according to what they look at the molecular level instead of what organ of origin they came from.
I want to cite an example of that later on in our conversation, but Dr. Harold Varmus, the former director of the National Cancer Institute, in your selection description, is praising your management skills. And I wonder what's the same and what's different in managing something like the Cancer Genome Atlas to something that's a more traditional type of project or program that a manager might undertake.
I think this quite a lot of similarities. You know, we are approaching the generation of data in a systematic way, in a pipeline, as I said, and that is very similar to, say, managing a car factory. You know, you have an assembly line that each person does a certain things and they do it very well. And then we have generated that for the scientific endeavor. So from that side, it's very similar to management of any type of large-scale enterprise. What happens is that at the beginning and at the end of that pipeline, we have clinicians that are contributing the samples to the effort. We need to be able to manage their expectation and make this project interesting enough so they will contribute the samples that they have collected. And on the final end, we have a lot of scientists, world-renowned scientists, very well-trained scientists with large trajectories and large laboratories that have to come together and analyze the data and understand what the data is telling us. So that part is different because, as you can imagine, you know, it's a question of managing more than any other thing the expectations. What can they get out of it and make them understand that this is not done for their own, you know, career objectives is done to help the patients beyond the state. In fact, you know, you said, you know, the citizens, I would say this is one of the largest gifts that the United States have done to the world, because we are doing this not just for the U.S. citizenship. We are doing this for everybody in the world that suffers from cancer. And the U.S. taxpayer has paid the bill for it. So I think, you know, the U.S. should pat themselves on the back and say, well, you know, sometimes we get criticized for all the things that we do wrong. This is one of the things that we did right, and we didn't charge anybody for that. So you can imagine managing these type of things and explaining this to the outside world makes a difference from, you know, a regular managing thing. Sometimes my wife says that I have a combination between matchmaker and kindergarten teacher. Because I have to bring people to the table and make sure that, you know, they understand what they have to do, and they understand that they have to share the toys. And so it is, some days is more enjoyable than others, but I thoroughly enjoy the task. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing it.
Jean-Claude Zinkluzen is director of the Cancer Genome Atlas Program Office at the National Cancer Institute, and he and his colleague Carolyn Hutter are finalists for Service to America medals. And that's kind of where I wanted to go next, because you're managing not just some federal employees and not just some contractors that are interacting with them, but you're also managing the exchange of information and research among, it says here, more than 150 teams that are all over the country and all over the world. So you're dealing with government folks, you're dealing with industry that's experienced with working with government, but you're also dealing with NGOs who may or may not have a lot of experience working with a government or the United States government.
Absolutely. Our teams, basically, our analysis teams are made up of quite a variety of players. Obviously, it's the federal government is part of the analysis teams, and we have one analysis team per cancer type that we are looking at. Then we have the physicians or the hospitals that have contributed the samples. We have the people that have generated the data, because they are the ones that know the data better than anybody else. And then we have experts on the fields that do research in this particular tumor type. And we have to bring them all together, and we have to make sure that they understand what are the rules of the game. We do have patient advocates that have push for samples to be assembled there. Some of the projects would not have happened had not a particular foundation with interest in that particular cancer type push the physicians to contribute the samples. So we are always very grateful to them, because they keep us real, basically. They are the ones that understand this disease better than anybody else, because they see the suffering that the disease causes. So it's a very, very varied group of people that come, and I always laugh, because when we begin these analysis working groups, we always have the same issues. Now, who's going to do what, and when are we going to go get, and who gets credit for this and that, and those are the first two calls, maybe. And then by the third call, they realize that the data is way larger than anything that they would have thought of using, and that the purpose goes way beyond their personal interest. And it's very rewarding to see how these groups of people that have their own agenda to begin when they began the analysis, to come, you know, midway through the analysis to become an actual analysis group. And in fact, some people that have come to an analysis of one particular tumor type that was their interest, then they start asking, can we participate in the other groups? Because they see that there's really a use for this, and that there's a benefit beyond them. It is incredible, because sometimes we get people that don't, you know, play well with each other before they get to the AWGs, and I get these warnings, such and such doesn't like such and such, and I go, that's okay. Well, they'll like each other at the end. And the surprising thing is, you know, they may not go for drinks in happy hour, but they can work together at the end of the process. So again, it's, you know, it's rewarding in many, many, many different facets. And it demonstrates that the federal government has a role to play in these things.
Well, I want to congratulate you and Carolyn Hutter of the National Human Genome Research Institute for this selection. And the Service to America Medal Ceremony is one of my favorite events of the year, and I hope we run into each other there. And I just wish you continued success at this, Jean-Claude, and I thank you for being on with me today.
Thank you very much for having me.